You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
I am Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Lori. And Char.
And today's topic is holodecks. That's right, you heard it right, holodecks. Now, you may be asking yourself, Tristan, Lori, Char, this is such a broad topic, but that's what we do. We tackle broad topics, and we narrow it down for you, and we're picking some of our favorite holodeck programs. Now, we can't touch all of these, can we, ladies?
No.
And we're going to try, but no.
No.
I mean, there was a lot of holodeck stuff in TNG, holosuite stuff in DS9, but I think Voyager has them beat by far with how much holodeck activity was going on.
You stole the words out of my mouth.
That's what I do.
Yeah, you do.
I take your ideas and make them my own.
Seriously.
Okay, now some might say, well, let's start with the best first with Captain Proton, but I say nay, let's save that for later, because if we start on Captain Proton now, we may be talking about that for the rest of the episode.
Yes, that might very well become a show unto itself.
So maybe we just need to touch on Captain Proton a little bit, and then have an episode about Captain Proton. Write us and tell us if you want a Captain Proton episode.
Yes.
Because we will give it to you.
Yeah, we'll give the people what they want, but you have to demand it. So.
Okay, well, how about, let's go in the opposite direction. All right. Char, what was your least favorite holodeck setting? Not holodeck episode,
dude,
but holodeck setting.
You are
in Star Trek Voyager.
Setting this up. I love it. You know what I'm going to say. And you know what? No, I'm not falling for it. You know what I'm going to say?
Don't do it.
I'm not doing it. We're going to talk about Fairhaven later. I want to talk about Janeway's Victorian Holo novel.
Well, that's the correct answer, Char. That is the correct answer for the least favorite holodeck setting.
Don't you pull that reverse psychology on me, buddy. Don't you dare.
For those of you listening, actually, I guess all of you are listening if you can hear my voice, but I get made fun of a lot for loving Fairhaven, and I do, and I'm not ashamed of it. Sorry, but not sorry, as we often say on Twitter.
Yes.
But I love Fairhaven, and I love Spirit Folk, not so much. But I love the town of Fairhaven. But we will get into that. But let's talk.
Okay.
Let's talk about the Victorian Holo novel, which I can't even remember the name of the setting or even of the characters because I try to block it as much as I can.
It's not the greatest thing at all. I mean, it's this 19th century Gothic Holo novel, which I think is roughly based off of Wuthering Heights.
I don't know, super creepiness back then. I mean, I don't know. That's the only thing that comes to mind.
Yeah, it's this weird, creepy guy named Lord Burleigh, and he's got two bratty children who study Latin, and they think they're just so wonderful. And then there's Mrs. Templeston, who is just kind of a biatch to everybody. She's very
a psycho killer.
That, too. She pulls a knife on Janeway in Persistence of Vision, and then Janeway's playing... essentially, what is the word? The governess? Or what the exact
the
governess?
Yeah, she's playing the governess. Mm-hmm.
To take care of the children. So essentially, she's this very glorified babysitter.
Basically.
Which I don't understand why this is why she would want to spend her free time doing something like this.
Right? Okay, that was my main gripe when I saw the episode. I was like, why would anyone volunteer for this governess duty?
Yeah, okay. You're babysitting 150 people on your crew. You're in charge of them. You're in charge of their well-being. Is that not enough for you, Janeway?
No, she needs children to take care of, too. I don't get that at all.
Oh, but why these children? They're horrible.
They are creepy. They are just weird.
Well, the kids are just annoying. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say that out loud.
Yeah, I've seen them in other roles, and they are just as annoying in other TV shows and movies as they are in this, and it just makes me wonder, are they this annoying in real life?
Yeah, those contrived accents that they try to
It's one of those accents that's so bad that it could be real. Like, that's that's what throws you.
That's exactly what that is.
Wasn't this wasn't the boy in Star Trek Generations? Didn't he play one of Patrick Stewart's sons?
He did. And that little girl is on later too. She's we're in the doctor's family. That's right. Yeah. She plays that little girl.
She plays the daughter. Yes, she does. Yeah,
I totally did not know that.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I did not know that. I did not put that two and two together. I feel a little dumb for not knowing that. Because I liked her in that episode with the doctor's family.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was okay. She was much better than this bratty little girl in the Holland novel.
It's true. I mean, I felt bad when she died, but
that's
neither
that
here nor
sad,
there.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But let's talk about something a little bit happier and brighter. Because the Victorian one is very dark and gloomy
and it's
stupid.
Dull.
But let's talk about something that is still stupid, but less so, and that's Baywatch in space.
Oh, good Lord. Yes.
I'm going to talk about the best thing that happened with Baywatch in space was we got to see what Neelix's feet look like without shoes.
Oh,
I was
going to
bring this up, but I didn't think of that as a good thing.
Mm. No, this is a positive thing. How awesome was that? Because it matched him.
Well, okay, the makeup job. Mm-hmm. It was extraordinarily good.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, after I saw that, you know how we were talking about Janeway dancing the dying swan last week? I kind of feel like I didn't need to see that.
that moment where you're like, you know what? I'm all set. That one.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm kind of done with that. We did see that.
Mm-hmm, we did. It's like Herman Munster's feet with spots and hair.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Yeah.
It's like a very short Herman Munster, yes.
And, well, couple that with the way Neelix was dancing, and it's just kind of an image that cannot be undone. It's forever etched into my brain.
Oh, it always bothered me that I know for budgetary reasons we didn't get to see the full effect of what they could do at the resort program, but it really bothered me that all we saw was like the bar area. Like I wanted to see some beach, I wanted to see some water. Even them playing volleyball at one time would be nice just to establish, yes, it is more than just a bar area where you can get mojitos.
Seriously. I mean, they're in LA for crying out loud. Go on location, go to Venice Beach. It's right there.
Just once, like spend a couple hours just shooting random activities, and then you can splice it in later episodes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is also the setting that we see Harry fall in love with the wrong kind of woman again.
No way.
Really?
Shocking.
Harry?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh. Well,
his holodeck love, which turns out, which I always felt like Harry got a bad rap for that because it wasn't a holodeck character. She was a real person.
She
we
was.
We just saw her as a holodeck character, and Tom never let up on him about that post.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
this episode.
You know, it's pretty easy to rip on Harry. Let's face the facts here.
Yeah, he sets himself up for it.
Yeah, but you know what? You're right about this one. He didn't deserve quite as much bashing as he got this one time.
Yeah, quite as much. I mean, he still deserved it, just not as much.
Right.
Now, I mentioned that this was the first one that we saw post-Sandrine's that became a regular.
Yeah.
Now, Sandrine's, I have mixed feelings about.
Do tell.
Sandrine's is one of the major settings of one of my favorite episodes, Twisted.
We gotta talk about that sometime, Tristan.
Yeah, a lot of people make fun of me because Twisted is one of my favorite episodes. I made a Best of Voyager list on Trek.fm, and you can find that article. And I got a lot of flack from people saying, wow, really surprised that Twisted is on there. And it's a season one episode.
Mm-hmm.
And
two, actually, but it was shot for season one.
That's why I can never ever remember.
It was one of those carryovers. Yes, I'm a nerd.
I like the setting. I guess I have nostalgic feelings towards the setting mainly because of that episode, but if it wasn't for that episode, I would just be like, eh. I mean, I never really enjoyed it that much, even though I did like that we got to see it later on, even when Seven came on board with someone to watch over me.
Right.
But I just felt it was kind of boring. It was dingy. It was dim. And, you know, we got to see Catherine Janeway be a pool shark, you know, as we talked about in last episode.
Yeah.
But I guess I just never really thought it was that exciting because all you could do there is play pool. That's literally all you can do in Sandrine's.
Yeah, I think if they would have expanded upon it just a little bit more, it could have been like the 10 forward or the Quark's bar of the show, which is what I think the intention was. It was that Cheers kind of area. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows your name. That's where you go to hang out, get a drink, and relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love the idea. And I know a lot of people were not huge fans of Sandrine's, but you know what? I would have gone there to hang out.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Definitely. It would have been
fun.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I want more than a pool table, too. And I'm not sure, actually, now that I think about it, what I would add to the program.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know. Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard for us to say because what we would add is a starship. So we can't really do that because they want to get away from the starship.
This is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, all the action is everywhere else. This is where you go to get away from the action.
Right. That's right. That's
therefore,
true.
I mean, it's dullness, if you will. If in real life, if this is what we were doing, if we were on Voyager, this is where we would go. We would want dull. We would want to zone out and drink a beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
True. That's why it was the way it was. It was actually pretty true to life, if you think about it.
True. That's what people do when they get tired of their job. They go to a bar. They hang out in a bar. They talk to their friends. So, yeah, I could see why that would have appeal, definitely.
Laura, you have a really good point there. I never really thought of it that way. It's true. I mean, that's where you would go to escape, you know, what they would call real life.
Yeah.
Whenever I ask people about, like, what holodeck program would you choose if you could only choose one, and it's hard for people because they would say, like, oh, like any of the battle simulations. Because they want to live in Star Trek. We all want to live in Star Trek.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, for us, the action is Kobayashi Maru, but if you're living that, that's the last thing that you want to do in your off hours. You're dealing with that 24/7 as it is.
Yeah.
Sure, you don't want to take an academic test.
No, you don't.
No, your life is on the test all the time.
Yeah, but one place you can go and that you can take souvenirs with you, and that is the Flotter storyline.
Flotter.
I wanted that doll so bad, even though I was way too old for dolls when that episode came out. I still wanted one. And if I found one today, I would buy it.
Did they make that into a doll? For real?
I don't think they did. I remember somebody making a handmade one.
Oh, okay.
I think maybe I remember seeing that online.
Is it on Etsy or something?
It was something like that before Etsy was around.
Oh, okay.
But I think I might have saw a picture of one at a convention, but they didn't even have the real thing. So I enjoyed the programs more than I did the episodes that they were set in.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
That Once Upon a Time was not that great of an episode, but just the fact that they were in the program, and it was just really cool to think that the child could go in there and escape and forget about her problems. Even though she really didn't know the whole time about her mother, she didn't have to think about it.
One thing that really bothered me about, Janeway comes in at the end and talks about how she played Flotter when she was a kid. Unless she was born, that would make her younger than Wesley, if that was the case.
Why?
Because of the holodeck.
Because holodecks didn't come around until season one of TNG. And if they came before that, it was very early before that. And so that always bugged me
that
to no
weird.
End.
That like, is, and, oh man, what a good point.
Unless there was something where there was like a rudimentary form of the holodeck just for kids, or like it was a holographic children's book or something.
Like, yeah, maybe
that's me rationalizing the hell out of this.
Which you need to do now that you brought this point up. Yeah, there must have been some sort of pre-holodeck thing, or like, you know how there's Viewmasters?
Yes,
that's it.
Yes.
That's
only
it.
It's a Viewmaster for the 24th century where you put it on your head, and it's sort of like the holodeck, but you're just in like a weird VR situation.
So it would be more like Dr. Wario and that.
Right.
Device that you
yes
that you
yes it would be a little more like that. Now if that's what Janeway was talking about, fine, but we didn't know that.
Sure.
But, yeah, they didn't specify, so we just are led to believe that she was on the holodeck too. No
that's crazy. That's crazy.
Now, something I would not want to take home with me, like Flotter, and that would be Beowulf.
No.
Oh, God.
Or excuse me, the monster in Beowulf. And
no, Grendel.
Thank you. Jeez. I knew people were going to be screaming at their radios for
did
me not remembering
Grendel.
Did you
ever have to read that in high school?
I did have to read it, no. And sadly, I saw the Zemeckis film.
Oh, ugh. Man.
Ugh. Oh, that was horrid.
Brutal.
This episode of, what was it? Heroes and Demons. Thank you. This episode of Heroes and Demons with the Doctor being Schweitzer. Or was it Schweitzer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Schweitzer.
Was way better than Zemeckis' film about Beowulf. I mean, crazy amounts better.
Wow.
But that's just my humble opinion. What did you guys think of Heroes and Demons with Beowulf setting?
I kind of have a little bit of a story to tell about this one because I was reading Homer's epics at the same time that this episode was airing, and I was so tired of reading this horribly old English and having to analyze it and understand its meaning. I mean, this is ninth grade, and so it's just making my brain hurt very much. I mean, I would have rather read Shakespeare than this at that point.
Aww.
And I'm not, I love Shakespeare, and yet I don't like reading the really old versions.
No.
Just because it's so hard to understand. I mean,
as opposed to the new ones that Shakespeare wrote.
You had to call me on that, didn't you? You know what I'm talking about.
The Cliff Notes. That's what she's talking about.
There you go.
About.
Yeah, that's what we all know what you're talking about. And that's Spark
updated
Notes.
Updated for context, okay? They do that now. No, we had to read the old versions because my English teacher, Mrs. Thoen, was a diehard old school fanatic. And I loved her for it, but anyway. So we're reading Homer's epics when this episode airs, and I am just thinking, really? You have to discuss Beowulf when the last thing I seriously thought I was going to puke. Just Beowulf? Oh, I was so bored to death with it, and therefore I thought that Heroes and Demons was a little boring. I didn't think it was that great, and yet it is better than the movie you pointed out, Tristan. Mm-hmm. So there you go. I don't know. I just, you know what I did love was the costumes.
They were cool.
The costumes were, really cool. Were very cool. And I love that the Doctor gets to play around a little bit. It's the first time we get to see him do that in the series. Mm-hmm. It's great. And I love Schweitzer because that's such a great name. But the whole idea of Harry playing Beowulf. Okay, now you lost me.
Well, we didn't really, you know, we didn't really see him as Beowulf except that final shot of the mm-hmm. episode.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank goodness, because I wouldn't have bought that.
No, it's just showcased that, you know, this is the fun that people have, that like they will be the character that they, I'm surprised that people read in the future. And
mm-hmm. I mean, was gonna bring that up. Yeah
because they don't watch TV, they don't watch movies mm-hmm. for the most part.
Yeah.
And there was an episode, Future Tense. Is that the two-part story arc where they go back
Future's
to the
Future's End?
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Future's End. I think Future Tense might be an Enterprise episode, but
yeah, you're something like that. Future Imperfect.
There you go. Thank you. yeah, in that one they have Neelix and Kes analyze
soap operas.
All the soap operas and the TV programs and everything like that. And Harry walks in and says, "I can't imagine watching a show that I'm not a part of."
Mm-hmm.
And right. It was so, I'm so happy that the writers put that in, because it was so natural for him to say that, because a lot of kids say that about books. They're like, why would I read a book when it could be shown to me? And it's only going to get worse.
It is. It really is.
It's absolutely true. But then, I don't know, books have been around for centuries. People thought that when TV came out, radio was going to be mm-hmm. obsolete. That's not happened.
They were 80 years too late. Not 80 years, that's wow. More like 60
here.
Years, excuse me.
I don't think it's going anywhere for a good while. And the internet's not killing TV. So,
no.
I don't know. I think there's something to be said for the older forms of communicating. Books.
I think
I'm not
great.
Arguing with you on.
Yeah, it's great when they show them reading. I love when they show them reading. I think, well, there you go. Because you have to use your imagination to read. To be in a program, you're right there. It's all around you. You don't have to do any thinking
exactly.
at all.
Exactly.
So there you go. That's right. Your teacher coming out right there.
Yeah, which is why I think it survives, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's a different kind of mental exercise.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So the crew at To the Journey are telling you to read to your kids.
That's right.
Yes, right. There's your PSA for the week.
The more you know.
One thing, like, speaking of, Laura, you mentioned you're in a program and it's all around you. It mm-hmm. immediately made me think of the episode where Tuvok's Maquis program came to light.
Oh, mm-hmm. yeah.
Worst case scenario.
Worst case uh-huh. scenario is a damn fine episode.
Mm-hmm. It's and good.
It gives us Seska again.
Yep.
And I thought one of the better episodes was Seska because she's dead.
Spoiler alert.
And oh, spoiler alert. You are not listening to this show if you have never seen Voyager.
Yeah, I know.
But that episode really showcased of the interactivity and how one person can play it a thousand different ways.
Yeah.
And they show Tom kind of, you know, making alterations to the program and writing it at the end, and he has this little pad, and it makes you think, okay, you just don't write, like, if you're writing a script or a book, it's just mm-hmm. one linear storyline mm-hmm. and what you write happens. No, when you write, you have to think of literally hundreds of different things that this person could say to the other character
right.
and what they do. And I'd love to know how you actually write a hollow novel, like what you have to do, because you can't just be a writer. You have to be a programmer. You have to be mm-hmm. a psychologist. You have to be way better than what you are now just to write the Da Vinci Code. You know,
right? You make a very good point. How do you account for all of that in those little algorithms for each character?
I don't know.
Ugh. I'm sure the computer helps out a lot. Like if I had mm-hmm. say I have this 1920s. Gangster character who was born here, raised here, what were the possibilities of what he would say given this as a response or something like that? I'm sure
right.
the computer does a lot of thinking for them.
Yeah, puts in all the possible, yeah, like the whole person's personality and everything about them would be taken into account. That would be that would be my kind of program, the worst case scenario. I think that would be just so much fun, like a board game you're sitting in the middle of. You can go a thousand different ways. That sounds fun to me.
I think you're right, Laura. I think that would be the one that I would choose. Out of mm-hmm. all of these, that's the one I would choose to play with the most because mm-hmm. you got to interact with everyone. You get to choose sides. It's right. like a BioWare game where you get to choose a light side and a dark side.
Right. Oh, that would be a blast. That would be so much fun.
I feel so lazy now. I'd just be sitting on my butt in sand greens.
Oh, I'd do that too. I would definitely yeah. do that too.
Or I would be in the resort program. Hey, Coco, you missed a spot. Come back here.
No, I'd be swapping phaser fire with Seska, and I would be hanging out with Chakotay, all that. Mm-hmm. Now, so speaking of different kind of personalities and different kind of reactions, now, Photons Be Free.
Mm. Ah, yeah, good one.
Was something where Doctor didn't get the personalities quite right.
No.
They're just a little exaggerated. Just a little. I love how he's got that ginormous backpack on him for the mobile emitter to express his burden. As, you know.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah, let's talk about these characters and where he kind of screwed it up a little bit.
Lieutenant Marseille was my favorite. With the mustache.
Yeah, oh my gosh, the mustache.
That oily car salesman mustache that he had.
Oh, he looks like such a crook, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. He does.
You know that dude's up to no good with that mustache.
And what's sad about B'Elanna's haircut in that one was remarkably close to Roxanne Dawson's real hair.
I think that was her hair.
It looks so bad.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was her real hair. And I thought that too. I thought, wow, they just, you know, they really went bare bones on that variation, didn't they? They're just like, screw it, we're not doing the wig today.
I bet she was like super happy that she got to film another episode without her ridges. Now, Roxanne Dawson is a gorgeous woman and talented woman.
Yes.
But the Star Trek fan in me is like, you know what? I think B'Elanna might be a little bit more attractive than Rosamund Dawson.
You're not the first I've heard say this. And I wonder if it's because most of us saw her first with the ridges.
Yeah.
I saw her first with the ridges, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did too. And you know what? I'm sorry, Roxanne. I kind of agree. The ridges look really good on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roxanne, if you're listening, I'm a huge fan. You're a great director, a great writer, a great actress, and you're gorgeous. Not everybody has those packages, but you work the ridges well. That's all we're saying.
That's it.
And if you are listening, please let us know. So we can
please
get you
us.
On the podcast. Yeah,
we'll give you a shout out. Heck yeah.
Trek.fm.ttj.
Indeed. You know, one thing I did find interesting was early on in the show, they're coming up with these concepts for holodeck programs. And I don't know if you guys know this, but they almost went with this kind of a Western thing for Janeway instead of the Victorian Hollow novel. And then somebody, one of the writers, shot it down, and I don't remember who it was, but they were going to have her kind of like almost Dr. Quinn medicine woman, sort of.
Yeah, something like that. I think I read that somewhere,
and,
too.
You know, in a way, I could see the excitement of that, and yet I'm glad they didn't go with that.
I never knew that.
Really?
I never heard that, and I wish I never heard that, because that would have been way cooler than that boring-ass Victorian Hollow novel.
Right?
Because it was like she was trying to be Picard. It felt like that to me. Like, I half expected her to go to the wall and say, "Would you like a cup of Earl Grey?" It was stuffy. It was boring. And I just don't think, like, this is, Janeway is the character who will play Velocity with Seven. Yeah. And who, yes, she dances ballet, but she did it in front of everybody. You know, like, it's something, she is an adventurous captain where she battles the Borg for breakfast. I just don't think that taking care of two snot-nosed brats is going to, you know, get her excited to go into the holodeck. And I feel like Dr. Quinn medicine woman kind of stuff would be fun, because she was born and raised in the Midwest, and that could be fun. That was a rich area, and they just blew it.
Yeah, this is so true. I think the only reason why they didn't go with it was because of budgetary reasons. I mean, obviously, the set, you're going to have to get horses, you're going to have to go on location to shoot it, most likely. I see the complication, but the potential for a better story. I mean, I could have gotten into that.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
I could have seen Janeway going around and doing that sort of a thing. Yeah, okay.
Because every Star Trek series needs a Western episode.
This is true. TNG did it. The original
TOS, TNG, Enterprise did it.
Did DS9?
I don't think DS9 did.
I don't think they did. I guess that's where they dropped the ball, is that.
And again, if we're wrong, people, let us know.
Yeah, right.
Contact us. Trek.fm/contact.
Yeah, we can't pimp that enough. So, anyway, yeah, no Westerns on Voyager.
No.
Kind of a missed opportunity. I mean, aw.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what wasn't a missed opportunity.
What's that?
Ireland.
Okay, let's talk about it.
You've been waiting. You've been patient.
Yes, you've
let's
been very patient. Let's talk Fairhaven.
I want to hear what you guys think, because I'm a bit of a windbag and I talk for a long time. So I want to know what you guys think of Fairhaven, and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Okay, Laura, you go first.
Okay. All right. I can honestly say it's really not that bad to me. I didn't have any issues except for the fact that it's so stereotypical, like Walt Disney's version of the little Irish village. I just expected a leprechaun to jump out from behind a bush every time he turned around. And I was okay with, I know everybody complains about the holographic boyfriend, and I was really okay with Janeway's holographic boyfriend until she went in and made all those changes. I mean, if you're going to have a relationship with somebody, honest to God,
That was the whole point of the episode.
But you can't change the person you're having a relationship with. That's weird.
That was
That's
the
creepy.
Message of the episode.
Yeah,
that was what she
sucked,
learned.
But I don't like that message. I didn't like that.
The message is you can't change who you love.
It's a good message, but it was painful watching her do that. That's what Lori's
really
trying to say.
Yes, I hated that. Why at that point would you have done that after you've worked with the doctor all that time and watched him change and grow? Why would you do that to somebody that you cared about?
Because she wanted to delete the wife, that's why.
Well, that's fine. That was the only line I was okay with. Delete the wife made total sense to me. That's perfectly fine.
Now, wait a minute. I'm a married woman. And you know what? I can't go with that just because that is the way that was programmed to be. He was taken. Get someone else.
Who else? We're not talking about real life here, and it's not like that's the way he was programmed. Like, oh, that was the way he was born. Tom Paris wrote him.
Yes, she wasn't real. She wasn't a real person.
That's just as bad as saying, oh, make him taller and make him more intellectual. No. That's changing.
No. Yes, it is. No, it is.
But she wasn't in love with the Michael. Just the average bartender with the education of a third grader. She wasn't in love with him. She just thought that he was pretty. She fell in love with the person after the changes.
I think she liked him for what he was, but she wanted somebody that she could actually talk to about things she knew about. No, I think she liked him before the guy that was fun.
She didn't love him. One evening of rings doesn't constitute love.
I don't think she ever really loved him either, if you want to really get into it. I don't think there was love there. I think she was lonely. I think she was a lonely person. There you go!
How dare you belittle her relationship with him?
We just did.
It was the truest, most honest, lovely relationship in Voyager. I said it. Okay, no, I'm exaggerating about that, because B'Elanna and Tom have that. But it was still better than Chakotay and Seven.
I'll give you that.
You totally win that. I mean, nothing is worse than that. I am sorry.
It was better than Chakotay and Seven. It was better than Harry and his STD-ridden girlfriend. It was.
Okay, you make a good point there.
It was better than the Doctor and his holographic wife.
But it was not better than the Doctor and his holographic person who was really a real person, but she was sick.
Oh,
I like
the Vidian lady. Yeah,
I like that.
Okay,
that
now
sweet.
That was a pure and honest and beautiful relationship right there.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was, but I'm sorry. I love the bartender.
Well, you love him all you want.
You can have him.
I do. And I won't mind if he snores. I don't care if he snores. Our love is pure.
I understand the message that Fairhaven was giving, and it's a good message. And yet it just bothers me so much that Janeway even went there.
Yeah, I was disappointed in her for that.
I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Mm-hmm. What,
like the disappointed parent.
Yeah.
Apparently you guys didn't see the rest of the episode where she had an arc, which is what we call it in the biz, you know. A little better for the experience.
Oh, really?
You know, a little change in nature. A lesson learned. Okay? Richer for it happening. Where she had that conversation with the Doctor about how, you know, next time just let him snore. And, you know, she learned something. She learned and she fell in love with Michael Sullivan. And it was fantastic.
Sure. Yeah, and then her boyfriend ended up malfunctioning, which is one of my favorite lines.
I have
a boyfriend who malfunctions.
Yes. And she's saying that to Coco, no less.
There on the go. Bridge, I was surprised.
On the bridge! Wow! She's usually a little more discreet about these things, but nope, right out there.
But that shows how Janeway has changed over the past 7 years, because this was later in the season, or series, when Spirit Folk came around, and I wanted a trilogy so bad. But let's talk about something where we can all agree on, and that's Captain Proton.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
let's do this. We
better wrap this up because we do not have much time left.
What would a Voyager discussion be about holodecks if we didn't discuss Captain Proton?
Not a very good one.
No.
Yeah.
Boring.
So here we go. Let's talk some Captain Proton. Okay. It was awesome. Okay.
End of
discussion.
Everything.
Yeah. Pretty much. I love everything about Captain Proton. I really do. I love that it's in black and white. I love the costumes. They're so detailed. The sets are fantastic. I love the acting. I mean, you can just tell they're hamming it up and having a good time.
Yes, they're having a
great
time.
What's not to love?
There's nothing there not to love. It is amazing. Dr. Chaotica, he's so crazy. It's just all so silly. Flash Gordon.
Like, you're like, it's so crazy.
It's so crazy.
I think you're channeling your inner Arachnia right there.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, absolute favorite. That is my favorite episode ever of Voyager.
Like, a Voyager? Yes. Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, it is.
Yes, ma'am. His awesome. Army of Evil.
It's a really good episode. It's not something that I would want to see all the time,
right?
Several times every season. But you know what? When they pull it out, they do a great freaking job, and it's fun, and you love it.
And what makes it is the little moments. The little moments, like I just said, with Tom Paris saying his army of evil. And when Tom and Harry shoot the guys, like they're done and they're down, but Harry's just like, one more shot. Bam. You know? Yeah.
Because that's what you would do, right?
Yeah. And Janeway's laugh and just Satan's robot being as corny as possible. Yeah.
Oh, and it is. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It looks like it's about to keel over and fall at any second.
Mm-hmm. The Doctor is the president of Earth. All fantastic stuff.
Of course. Yes. And we can't not talk about Tom Paris as Captain Proton. Saving the day. Mm-hmm. With his sidekick, Harry, who...
Buster Kincaid.
This is the most emotion I think we see out of him ever, is out on Captain Proton. I mean, it's a fantastic performance by Garrett Wong. He's into it. You can tell.
He loves
now,
it.
There is one thing that almost sullied Captain Proton for me. Let's just say there's a conversation between Tom and Tuvok where Tuvok says, like, oh, so... You know, are you still having your dalliances with the slave girls and Captain Proton or something like that? And he said, he's like, oh, those days are over. I'm a married man now. I'm like, whoa, what was going on in Captain Proton? Like, did Tom and Harry go into separate rooms or, God forbid, the same room and, like, do this stuff? Like,
kinky.
What happened? Because I was like, I thought this was like a nice 1950s serial, and we're like, yeah, we're having fun with laser guns and jetpacks, and oh yeah, by the way, sex. No. No, I did not like that discovery, and it was either Gravity or it was the episode where Tuvok got with a holographic version of his wife, which I'm surprised we did not talk about.
Oh, yeah, the Ponfar.
Ponfar, yeah.
Oh my goodness, yes, yes.
Well, it looks like that is a wrap for this week. Char, where can we find you online?
You can find me all over the place, of course, on Trek.fm, and you can find me on Twitter. My handle is OhTheProfanity. And how about you, Lori?
You can also find me all over Trek.fm, too, but not quite as much as Char. Then you can also find me on Twitter at LoriS68. What about you, Tristan?
Well, you can find me on Twitter like these ladies right here, but at The Insane Robin, where I host the Star Trek Question of the Day every day, Monday through Friday, at approximately 10:30 Central Time. And you can also find me at Hyper Channel, your 3 to 4 minute news segment of all things Trek. Thank you for listening, and please contact us and let us know what you think of the show. Tell us what you want to hear in the show. That's at trek.fm/contact. And please, please, oh please, go to iTunes, subscribe to us, rate us. It takes 5 seconds to rate us on iTunes, and it lets us know how we're doing, what we need to improve on, and please give us a 5-star. If you give us a 5-star rating, we'll mention you on the podcast and give you a nice shout out. And we hope you enjoyed this episode, and please tune in next week, because we're going to talk about what a lot of Star Trek series really didn't focus on, but Voyager did, and that's children in the show. Now, some of you might be cringing, but no, we're going to make it fun, and we're going to make it interesting. Anywhere from Borg children to captain's assistants.
There you go. Darn right.
So thank you for listening. This was To the Journey.
To the Journey!